This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. In Iowa, Governor Terry Branstad today has a bill on his desk that would make texting while driving a primary offense, meaning if an officer suspects a driver of texting, he can stop them and give them a ticket. Currently, it's a secondary offense, meaning the officer would have to stop the driver for another violation before they could add the texting while driving ticket. In Texas, it's a zero offense to text and drive. There are four states that allow texting while driving. Texas is one of them. Do you support this policy in Texas, or do you want to see a statewide texting while driving ban? Former House Speaker Tom Craddock has been fighting for years to get a texting while driving ban on the books in Texas. I spoke to him recently about this and also about the recent church bus crash near Uvalde that took 13 lives. The driver suspected of causing that crash has admitted to texting while driving.
People see it every day as you walk, as you drive down the street. You're seeing people that are weaving, and you see people that you're stopped and the light's green, and we're having a lot of deaths, obviously, not only in the state but in the country. And it's just a critical situation that needs to be trying to be taken care of. It's no different than seatbelts. Seatbelts, you know, people say, well, I don't like the government telling me what to do. But on seatbelts, it was something we found that a lot of people are losing their lives, and a lot of loss to property, as it is with no texting while driving. And we passed it now. I'd say, well, the statistics say 95% of the people now wear a seatbelt. And they say if we pass this bill to not text and drive, that we'll be at that same ratio, because people tell people that get in a car, kids and their grandkids and everybody else, you know, buckle up. It'll be the same way on this. Don't use your phone. So I think it's important.
You have been trying to get this passed session after session. I believe there have been four sessions in a row. You tried to get this done?
That's correct.
And it looked like that, once again, you weren't going to find success again, except we had for this tragic accident with the loss of life of 13 senior citizens. Has that really changed people's attitudes about a statewide texting ban up with the lawmakers?
I think what happened is we passed it, actually, and the governor vetoed it in 2011 when Governor Perry was governor, and he's running for president. He vetoed it on the idea that we were taking away people's rights, and there were only 9 states at that point that had passed it, and now they're obviously 46. And so then we passed it the next session, passed the next, and couldn't get out of the Senate. And the Senate's the problem. We need one more Senate vote to save lives. But I think it's what happened with that accident down there. It brought it to up to the high focus of people, where they're really they know it's a problem, and they see it, and they saw the devastating thing that happened down there. And all of a sudden, there's lots of publicity and people reporting and talking about it. And I think that it is helping. You know, it's unfortunate to have something like this happen to do that, but I think it is helping.
We know that the driver, he says he was texting and driving. This is not a suspicion. He admits that's what he was doing. He was driving so erratically that people were shooting video of him, and there were multiple calls to the deputy's office, the sheriff's office, saying there's this guy on the road. We need some help. Had this law been in effect at the time, and they said there's a guy here texting and driving, and he's driving not safe, that would have gotten some results, that they would have gone after him and stopped him?
I think that the chances are they become more, if when they become apparent like that and they know that they can arrest a person for it, where today they don't and can't, I think that I think you'd have seen a quicker follow-up. Yes, I do.
Some people say that we have rules like this all the time, no texting and driving, and people just ignore them. They just keep on...
I think people do ignore the law, the small amount. But like I mentioned, statistics show 95% of the people obey it. So I think if you either go to these 100 cities that have different no texting while driving things across the state of Texas, and they'll tell you there that people, that's shut down a lot. I mean, I live in Midland, and Midland's got a law in there. There are fewer people texting and driving today than before we passed the local ordinance. I think the awareness is a big problem. We're getting that right now. I think if we pass the bill, people become aware of that, I think it'll make a huge difference.
And there are still people who say this is nanny state, that we don't need laws like this, that people can decide for themselves what to do.
Well, that is, and that's the problem that we've got in the Senate with that small group, that Libertarian group, or Liberty Caucus. They say, well, you know, you're taking away rights. But look, the facts are this. I've got a right to back out of my driveway and know that the highways and streets are as safe as possible. And there's a way for me to go out and drive, whether by myself or with my children or grandchildren or whatever, and expect reasonably that we're going to have safety. We found a thing. Obviously, you wouldn't have 46 states that passed it. We found a law in the country that needs to be passed. It's been passed by 46 other states that are saying we're having a positive reaction. There was a big need. So to me, it's up to the legislature or Congress, whoever it is, to pass it.
State Representative Tom Craddock is a Republican from Midland. The former speaker has been pushing for years for a statewide texting while driving ban. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, more on the hazards of distracted driving. We open up the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. Do you support the decision to keep Texas a state where drivers can text while behind the wheel, even while on the highway? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
Support for TPR comes from University Health System, where the past 100 years of service and discoveries have impacted countless lives and advanced the practice of medicine here and around the world. Learn more online at universityhealthsystem.com. Our Lady of the Lake University is offering leadership development courses through its master's or PhD in leadership studies programs. Information is at OLLUSA.edu or at 431-3961. This nonprofit message was underwritten by Our Lady of the Lake University. Support for TPR comes from the Magnet Art Museum's exhibition Monet to Matisse, A Century of French Moderns. Newly reconfigured galleries showcase paintings and sculptures from the collections of the Brooklyn Art Museum and the Magnet, now through June 4th.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Texting while driving is the source of much conversation this legislative session. House Bill 62, which would ban texting while driving statewide, did pass the House last month by 113-32. That's a pretty big margin. There's a Senate committee last month also approved Senate Bill 31. It also does the same thing, trying to put a statewide ban on texting and driving, and it passed the committee by 6-3 vote, but it has not been scheduled for a floor vote. It seems to be stalled in the Senate because there is a coalition of people who are opposed to it. They say there's one vote short trying to pass it on the Senate floor, and people are trying to talk about this issue, especially in light of that terrible crash that we had near Uvalde recently where we lost 13 lives. So what do you think about texting while driving in San Antonio and across the state of Texas? 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're now joined by Laura Lopez, the Public Information Officer for the San Antonio branch of the Texas Department of Transportation, and also Joel Feldman. He is a speaker and advocate for End Distracted Driving. It's endd.org is his website, and he is out there trying to convince people to not text while driving. And welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you.
So, Joel.
Thank you very much.
Joel, your story, you have a very emotional story. This has touched you in a very deep way.
It has. In July of 2009, my 21-year-old daughter, Casey, was walking across the street in a crosswalk. It was a beautiful summer's day, and a 58-year-old man who was reaching for his GPS rolled through a stop sign, hit her, killed her, and said he never saw her. And that began my advocacy, because I have to admit that before that, I would drive distracted all the time. I would text, I would email, I would read maps, read directions, eat in the car. I was about one of the worst distracted drivers you could ever imagine. But I guess I was lucky in a sense that I'd never killed anyone else's child, parent, or spouse. So that's why I changed the way I drive, and my message to people is, you don't want to be like me. you don't want to have something like that happen before you change the way you drive.
What message do you have for someone in the Texas Senate who may be holding back on supporting Senate Bill 31 that would pass a statewide ban on texting while driving?
Well, probably their parents or grandparents. And I go to talks and I ask all the parents and grandparents to raise their hands if they do anything to keep their children safe. And predictably, all the hands are raised. I then ask them, keep your hands up only if you don't drive distracted with your kids in the car or grandchildren. And almost all the hands come down and the parents and grandparents look a little ashamed and embarrassed. So, you know, maybe we can get away with it. We really can't, but maybe as adults and experienced drivers, we get away with it more. But our kids are watching us. So our kids watch us and they learn from us good and bad behaviors. So what are we teaching our children when we drive distracted? And I know those legislators are driving distracted. I mean, I haven't been in the car with them, obviously, but I know that's part of it.
We have laws that prevent people from drinking and driving, alcohol levels and things like that. We know that when you drink and drive, that you are much more likely to be careless behind the wheel and that you are dangerous behind the wheel. Is that different than texting while driving?
Well, it is different. Obviously, we don't want anyone to drive drunk, and the laws have been very, very effective. Not totally effective, of course, but they have been effective. A lot of studies show that when people are drunk, they'll actually look at the road. When you're texting or Snapchatting or whatever you might be doing on your phone, you're not even looking at the road. So that's why there are some studies that show that while you're in the act of texting while driving, it's actually more dangerous, 4 to 6 times more dangerous than driving under the influence of alcohol at or near the legal limit of 0.10
so,
or 0.08.
The argument that people have saying it's a nanny state move to create a statewide ban for texting while driving, Joel, is that this takes away freedom of the driver. So can you talk about that argument?
Well, I guess the legislatures all across the country, and of course it was under the there was under some pressure from the federal government to adopt the 0.08 blood alcohol limit. They decided in their infinite wisdom that we don't want people to do that. So I guess there's, you know, we feel that we don't want people to drive drunk. We're killing about one-third of the amount of people who drive people who die in the fatal crash is about one-third as many who are driving distracted as there are who are driving drunk. But I believe today, I don't know how it is in Texas, but I'm sure it's pretty much the same all across the country, more serious crashes, including fatalities, are caused by distracted driving today than drunk driving. So, I mean, the legislature, they have to look at this and they have to figure out, do they want to say, okay, we don't want to infringe with people's rights while people are being killed all across the highways? I mean, I was at some national traffic safety conference when your awful, awful tragedy took place down there, and people were saying, you know, maybe now, even Texas will do something that will protect all of its citizens. So that's the hope.
All right, let me go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Rachel is on the line. Rachel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I'm calling in. I'm also a citizen of Texas who has been personally affected by texting and driving. My boyfriend, 2 years ago, he was on a charity cross-country trip, and he was struck by an Oklahoma woman who was texting and driving. And I guess I just wanted to bring up the point against civil liberties that Texas, especially in the legislature, seems to be preoccupied with. And the need for legislation that I think creates a negative deterrent, particularly making killing someone with your car while texting and driving a felony. Because I think only when you have really severe legislation in place will it be the natural deterrent that will keep people from texting and driving.
Okay, so make it a felony if you text and drive, but right now we can't even make it a misdemeanor. Joel, can you talk about that? I mean, that's a tough penalty to try and get convinced the legislature to pass something like that.
Well, first off, I'm sorry for Rachel's loss. There's so many people out there. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of us across the country and hundreds in Texas whose lives have been affected by distracted driving. Laws are a deterrent, so I think that it's a no-brainer that Texas passed the bill so you can't text, and one of the penalties should be, depending upon what happens, whether it's you've seriously injured someone or, God forbid, you've killed someone, the penalties should be commensurate. But I don't want to leave the conversation with thinking that if you just do say people don't text, that you've solved the problem. You know, that's laws and there's enforcement, but there's a big part of this you need to talk about as well, and that's education. I was down in Austin in February, and I was talking at a bunch of high schools, and I'll tell you, I was so impressed with, I was talking at one of the high schools that's got a great football program throughout your state, and the coach got up and said that a couple years ago he buried one of his athletes. And he looked at everyone there, and he said, you know what, we have our backs on the field. We need to have our backs on the road as well, and we don't want to let our teammates drive distracted. So that's a big part of it. It's how we're going to drive, and laws could change that, but it's also, will we speak up the way we do with friends don't let friends drive drunk? Will we speak up when our friends and family members are driving distracted and ask them not to, and talk to them about it? So let's not forget the education part of it.
So let me talk to Laura Lopez about that over at TxDOT. They do have an aggressive public information campaign trying to educate the public.
That's correct. I mean, this month is Distracted Driving Month. However, we are also promoting our Talk Text Crash Distracted Driving campaign, and it's very important, as you heard. I mean, this is something that we just don't stress monthly. We do stress every day, and it's our goal is to have the awareness to the public about what they should not be doing when they are driving. Their primary goal when driving is to have 100% concentration on getting to their destination safely.
Talk, text, crash. Those are the three words that are out there trying to convince people that they need to make a priority of full attention on driving.
Absolutely. That's our goal.
And can you talk about what the statistics are for Texas in regards to people who choose not to follow that advice?
Well, it's we try our best to get our message out, and of course the drivers, we're very fortunate that our numbers did drop in 2016 compared to 2015. However, we still see an issue. In 2015, there were about 482 deaths and 452 deaths in 2016. That was a little decrease, however, it's still an issue. In San Antonio, we had about 22,000 crashes that resulted in 49 deaths and 396 serious injuries. So our message is getting across. However, we need to progress and be able to get that message even further, not just monthly, but every single day.
Looking at the distracted driver numbers from TxDOT from 2015, we can see that Bexar County led the state and led the counties as the number of fatal crashes caused by distracted drivers and other numbers as well. It's all startling that Bexar County seems to be the county that needs to get this information the most. We're going to keep talking about that. We're going to go to our pledge drive. This is Pledge Week here on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're talking about distracted drivers and the dangers that they pose on our public roads, particularly texting while driving. But that's not the only issue when it comes to distracted driving. Let's bring in Dr. Ioannis Pavlidis into our conversation. He is the director of the University of Houston's Computational Physiology Lab, lead author of a study, Dissecting Drivers' Behaviors. And Dr. Ioannis, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
So what were you looking at in this study?
So we were trying to abstract the various types of distractions, as you alluded to. And we have basically two types of distractions, physical distractions, the most well-known of which is texting while driving, and more esoteric distractions, such as absent-mindedness, emotionally upsetting, and so forth. And therefore, we structured a control experiment where we subjected drivers to all these types of different distractions, and we were monitoring what that was causing on their driving behaviors.
So it's interesting that people who are distracted while driving due to emotional stressors or they're shook up for one reason or another, and that could be just as bad as other distracted driving things like talking on the phone or texting.
Actually, we found that physical distractions such as texting while driving is the worst kind. They have the worst effect. More esoteric distractions such as absent-mindedness and so forth, they are potentially devastating, but not as bad as physical distractions. And the reason for this is that in pure esoteric distractions, the physical resources we use for driving, which is basically our eyes and our hands, they are sort of driven by an autopilot that we have. Let me call it this way for simplicity purposes. And also our handling of the steering wheel becomes more jittery. This autopilot sort of corrects things autonomically as far as the resources are all on deck. The eyes are where they need to be and the hands are on the steering wheel. The problem with the physical distractions is that they take away some of these resources occasionally, especially texting while driving does this and on a sustained basis. And this is what does not leave this autopilot to do its work right. And that's what creates the devastating problems there.
Just looking at my own experiences when we've had family funerals or even family weddings, there seems also on those big days, someone is going to have a car accident. I don't know about other people, but this has happened multiple times in my life experience. And I'm wondering if people were more aware, they learned from about their study, about if someone is really upset or really distracted because of something that is going on that day, then they probably shouldn't be driving.
They shouldn't. You're right. And the reason is that they're potentially dangerous. So, yes, this thing auto-corrects, but because your handling of the wheel is very jittery, any moment that you distract yourself away, like reaching for the glove box and so forth, then because this jittering handling is left uncorrected for a moment, and depending on your speed, that may create an accident, absolutely.
So, but when people drive, driving is not an activity that normally occupies your complete attention all the time. It does allow these gaps where you can, your mind can wander, and maybe if you're really upset, it may not wander back on, get you back on track quickly enough, and you will do things like blow a stop sign or something like that and be a danger.
Yes, absolutely. And what saves people in this case is most of the time is that, especially in the old days when we did not have these smartphones, these occasional physical distractions were very brief in duration. The problem now with the smartphones is that they introduced physical distractions that are very sustained. And, you know, it's a matter of probabilities. You're lucky once, you're lucky twice. But if you keep texting for minutes and hours at a time, basically then you run against the probability almost one, which means it's going to happen.
Right, and we've seen some studies that show that smartphone behavior can be addictive, almost like a drug-like on some people, so they have to really focus in order to put those things away. We need to emphasize through social sanctions that this is not acceptable behavior.
Indeed.
And so the takeaway from your study, Doctor, is what? What should people really learn from that?
Distractions are bad, either esoteric or physical, but physical distractions are the worst kind, and they may have short-term catastrophic effects. Esoteric stressors, which we had all along through the invention of driving, actually, are potentially bad, but not as bad as physical distractions.
Okay. All right. I'm going to take a caller here. Rance has called in. The number is 210-614-8980. Rance, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks, sir. I was just thinking, wouldn't it be easier to fix this problem with legislation that goes towards the companies that provide the service that we're using, to where if you move so many feet per second, then you can't text?
Okay, a technological solution. So, Joel Feldman, with End Distracted Driving, any reaction to that?
Well, I agree with the caller. And for your listeners' education, back in 2008, Apple patented technology that when your car went over a certain speed, it would automatically shut down the capability of the phone so that you could only look at the navigation and hands-free phone calls. And that patent was approved in 2014, and that would have saved a ton of lives, but of course it's not been instituted. So the technology would distinguish between the passenger and the driver. It's smart enough to know who's driving and who's not. So the technology exists, it's just we need to get folks to act on it. But
well,
it's a great question.
A consumer, if given a choice between a phone that will shut off when moving at a high rate of speed and one that will not, you know, if you leave that in the hands of the consumer, they may not make the most wise choice when it comes to protecting public safety. So that's going to take a law or a ruling from a policy in order to make that happen, Joel.
In all likelihood, I mean, it's probably wishful thinking to think that all of the smartphone manufacturers would sit down at a table and say, you know what, we would like people to be responsible themselves when they're driving, but they're not. Maybe we should do something to save lives.
So, Lara Lopez over from TxDOT, Public Information Officer, you're able to take a look at the demographics and see who among us is most likely to be a distracted driver.
Correct. In Texas, distracted driving related crashes and fatalities are the highest among ages 16 to 34. So that age range right there is definitely, you know, you've got the teenagers, the young adults, you know, those that haven't, you know, that are still, you know, this is all still new technology, and they think that they could just go ahead and, you know, use their phones and so forth. But that's the major age group right now that's the highest in distractive driving.
And what's the lowest?
Oh, the lowest is 75 and over.
75 and over. Because
technically it's under the age of 16 because they're not driving yet. But
yeah. Okay, they're just distracted with their own thoughts. So, Joel Feldman, here in San Antonio, we have already a metropolitan ordinance that has, you know, you can get a ticket for being a distracted driver, for being on the cell phone, for texting, all those things. I mean, isn't that enough?
Well, no, it's not enough because you have, I mean, I was in Austin, as I said earlier, talking to the kids at the high school, and, you know, Austin also has a similar ordinance. But they talked about their friends, their cousins who don't live in Austin, and when they go see them. I mean, this is so important. I mean, our children are dying. A recent study show that serious crashes more than 50% are related to distraction. So I keep coming back to this. I mean, maybe it's because I lost my daughter. Maybe it's because I work with teens all across the country every day, and I look at their faces and I look at them. And they've got their entire future in front of them, and we're failing them. We're failing them as parents because most parents will drive distracted with their kids in the car. We're failing them as, you know, policymakers, legislators, educators, because we're not doing enough. That's what it always comes back to me, to the kids. And they're the most inexperienced of drivers, That's why distraction is involved in more than 50% of serious teen crashes. You know, our kids learn from us. They learn the good and they learn the bad. And some studies show once that car seat is turned facing forward, you know, 4 or 5-year-old kids are looking at mom and dad, and they're looking at mom and dad driving distracted. That's the legacy. That's what we're teaching our children. There's something wrong with that.
Okay, another caller, Roberto. Roberto, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Just a few quick comments. Firstly, I narrowly survived a wreck with a distracted driver in 2009, and I do suffer permanent damage because of that. Number two, there's a huge difference between victimless crimes and what's going on with the texting and driving seatbelt. You know, no one's being hurt outside of the vehicle who chose to not wear seatbelts, but I do understand it. But thirdly, I think that we really need to enforce extremely harsh penalties just for being caught texting and driving. I think that maybe that we could do something like assault, you know, even though no one's been assaulted yet, even though it would be like an attempted assault charge just for texting and driving. And I think that would probably go a long way to stopping a lot of these distracted drivers.
Okay, I'm glad you're doing better and you recovered from that accident, Roberto. Assault charges or some sort of vehicle negligence, some sort of penalty for the driver texting while driving. What do you think about that? Do you think Texas should just have a ticket? You know, that's what they're asking for in the legislature right now, but they're short one vote in the Senate. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. End Distracting Driving. It's a website, www.endd, so endd.org. It was created by Joel Feldman. It's to talk about trying to end distracted driving, trying to get some meaningful action to end all this because of the loss of his daughter, Casey, a 21-year-old who was struck by a distracted driver in 2009. So, Joel, as you go around the country trying to encourage people to end distracted driving, do you come with a lot of resistance? Do people say, hey, that's the other guy. I can handle it.
Well, you do hear that. You do hear those excuses. The excuses that I most typically hear will be, I'm a good driver. I haven't been in a crash. It's just a few seconds. Nothing bad will happen. I hear that all the time. And coincidentally, when I've talked with parents whose children have been killed by distracted drivers, they tell me that the people who killed their children when sentenced in the courtroom, these are the same excuses that those persons give. The excuse that was given in the courtroom for the driver who killed my daughter was, I looked away for just a few seconds. It's not very comforting, as you can imagine. It's not very comforting. But there is this, it's okay if I do it, but I don't want the other people to do it. And that's actually led into a new approach, an additional approach. Probably lots of your listeners are a little concerned about other people driving distracted, put aside whether they drive distracted or not for the moment. But if we're all concerned about other people driving distracted, well, we have to be defensive drivers. And most of the folks listening probably know what a defensive driver is. You look out for the other driver, you expect them to do the unexpected. Well, how can you be a defensive driver if you're a distractive driver? So what we're adding to the programs is you want to be present. You want to be a driver who's attentive. You want to be a driver who's aware of everything going on, because that's what you need to be today to protect yourself from all the other distracted drivers on the road.
Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Are you sick of seeing distracted drivers on the road, or are you one who kind of accepts that behavior and realize that it's their right? If they want to be a distracted driver, well, the state of Texas says, well, then that's okay with them. What's your reaction to that? 210-614-8980. We did got an email comment from Garcia. Law or not, drivers will text while driving. Some people just don't get it. Can't legislate responsibility. Well, just because we can't legislate responsibility directly, does that mean we shouldn't try at all, Joe?
No, any traffic safety issue is resolved by laws, enforcement, and most importantly, education. And as we talked about earlier with one of the callers, perhaps a technological solution to this technological problem. So there are a certain number of people who, if a law is passed, will obey the law. There are a certain number of people. Now, comparisons to drunk driving are made all the time. Now, if you drive drunk with your child in the car and you're in a crash or you get caught, in addition to the DUI charge, you're going to be charged with some form of endangering the welfare of a minor. Does that make sense? Yeah, it makes sense because drunk drivers get in more crashes. You don't want to, subject your child to that. Does it make sense to do that with respect to distracted driving? I don't know. That's a legislative decision. But education-wise, we can make a difference. I mean, I'm optimistic from talking with teens. It's when I talk with older adults, whether I'm at businesses or, conferences, that I'm still optimistic, but less so. I think that today's youth, the kids of today, I think that they're getting it. A lot of people will take shots at the kids of today, the millennials and now what we call the Generation Zers. They're entitled, they're lazy, addicted to technology and all. But a lot of the studies show that they really, really care. They care about each other and they use their social connections. So one of the things we're doing and other folks are trying to do is to empower teens to be ambassadors for safe driving, to get out there and talk to their kids, talk to their friends, just the way they would talk to their friends if they were driving drunk. Everybody who's listening, if they saw one of their friends stumbling out to their car with their keys in their hand, they take the keys away. We don't do that yet for people who are driving on their smartphones, but we should be doing that.
Enrique is called in. Enrique, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. This is my first time calling. I was just going to the radio station. I think I was meant to call you guys on this radio station. Anyway, what I was telling your caller there was I was a big texter as a business guy. And also, as a police officer, I was always thinking that I was the person that had better hands on the wheel while I'm texting. But after the accident in New Braunfels, that's opened up my eyes. And, when you have your six-year-old daughter in the back seat who really doesn't know what texting's all about, but is reminding you, Dad, do not text while you're driving, kind of opened up my eyes. And I get a little emotional about this too, because I got a 6-year-old daughter and just the elderly people got hit by that guy in New Braunfels. I just want to tell everybody out there that I'm sorry that I was a texter and driving, but I've made a commitment to myself and to my family that I will not text. It's been about a week and I feel a lot better about myself while I'm driving, and it's not only for my safety, but for the people, the drivers around me, and for my daughter as well. I want to see her graduate, get married and stuff. But I just wanted to give you guys a call and thank you for bringing up this subject. Have a great day. Thank you.
Enrique, thank you for your call and for that pledge. Joel, what do you say?
I just so appreciate Enrique calling. Last week, Wednesday, would have been Casey's 29th birthday. So it's another birthday that we've celebrated. I don't know if celebrated is the right word, but we've observed without Casey here. And, people will tell me that losing a child is the worst possible loss. I don't argue with that. But each and every day, it strikes me that I'm alive and my child is dead. And I'm the one with the future. And I think back like Enrique, and thank God I didn't hurt anyone, hurt my kids, but I drove distracted with my kids in the car all the time. So there's two problems with that. My children are the most important people in the world to me, yet I took chances driving with my kids in the car. How does that make sense? But I was also teaching them that it's okay to drive distracted. I was in a school in Kansas City a little while ago, and we were talking, and then talking about kids and watching moms and dads, and a teacher, I saw the look on her face, and she was really upset, and I just asked her what's going on, and she said her 5-year-old daughter has one of those little Fisher-Price red and yellow, orange cars, whatever they are that the kids have that they ride around in, and her 5-year-old daughter flips out if mommy doesn't give her cell phone when she gets to ride in that little toy car because she wants to drive just like mommy.
Earlier we heard about the dangers of being emotionally rattled while driving. And so, Joel, I don't think I got your reaction to that. What about when you're having a funeral or a wedding or a big event like that in the family and you have to keep an eye out for others and say, if you are emotionally stressed out, you really shouldn't drive?
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I can look back now at you know, and I just think about funerals and things. You mentioned that, and I don't know of anyone who's been in a crash, and I certainly wasn't, but I can just think about, you know, you'll drive someplace. I don't remember driving at a funeral. I don't remember. I did drive, but I don't remember it. So I think there's a lot of validity to that.
Okay.
You know, we just need to look at our own behaviors, and we need to make a choice. We can save lives. Each and every one of us have the power to save lives.
All right. Joel Feldman and his organization is End Distracted Driving. It's endd.org. Also with us is Laura Lopez from the Texas Department of Transportation. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in. Now let's go back to the pledge drive.